Google, Intel, Qualcomm, and others ban Huawei off their network services. Google's AI outperforms human doctors. AT&T and other phone carriers get into deep trouble, and Apple can be sued by their customers. All of this and more here. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Tech. Hello everybody and welcome back to the Cutting Edge Tech episode 14. Now, this episode is going to be a bit of a longer one since I've been away for a week. And just so you know, everything is fine, everything is alright. I just had a few things during the week that I needed to take care of. That's why I couldn't sit down and do my podcast and everything. I apologize for that. I said it in the post on the Facebook. And this time, we're going to do both weeks, just like we did the other time that this happened. So don't worry, I got a lot of news to go for. So let's start off without any more distractions and any more delays. So first of all, let's start with our good friend Huawei. Yes, we're going back to Huawei again. And it's very, very interesting as to why we're going to this. Because during the past 2 weeks, Google has banned Huawei. So Google has banned the use of Huawei equipments and use of Huawei in general. And not only that, but Intel, Qualcomm, which are chip makers, have also joined in the ban, who have, you know, completely sidestepped Huawei. But unfortunately, that was very short. That was a bit short-lasted, because Google will still work with Huawei for 90 days after US eases trade restrictions. We'll talk about that one a little bit later, but for now let's focus on the first piece, which was the Google ban. So Huawei was banned because, as you well have known, they've been told, like, oh, you've been spying on us, and you've been doing this and this and that. You've been infiltrating and stealing our intellectual property, you know? So, with good reason, they banned them, because they were getting way too deep into what the U.S. was trying to do. As you may know, Huawei is Chinese. Huawei is Chinese. That pronunciation was bad. Anyways, but Huawei is from China, you know? And they've been stealing intellectual properties. Like I've said in previous episodes, they've been calling people that have quit Apple, Samsung, you know, other companies, other US companies, and other technology companies to steal their ideas, to call in their ex-employees and say, oh, we have a job for you. But in reality, instead of an interview, they were being probed into, like, oh, what can you tell me about this equipment? What can you tell me about that equipment? And gathering information, you know, stealing that information via other means. And as you well have known, the U.S. didn't take kindly to this, so Mike Pompeo issued some warnings to every country that was using Huawei equipment that they will share limited information based on their experience with Huawei, stealing intellectual property, and being accused of spying, which apparently is true. There's not yet many evidence supporting that, but most of the people actually believe it's true. And there's a lot of stuff that point to that direction. So based on the evidence that is shown so far, it is true that they've been spying on us. But the intellectual property theft, that is true, because there are accounts of people. So that is true. That is not made up, and that is not fictitious. So they've been in a bit of a pickle as of late, and they've decided, you know, Google has decided to start with the bans. So they banned Huawei from using their network services, and Intel, Qualcomm, and other companies, other chip makers, have banned also Huawei, have joined in Google's ban on Huawei. And that proves a turning point that with enough pressure, you can do stuff. Unfortunately, you know, they reversed it for 90 days, but hey, it just tells you where the mindset of people are. For example, right here on the verge is where the Intel, Qualcomm, and other chip makers joined Google in Huawei ban. So they've been joining the ban due to the reports that I've said, and it says here, It says here, Bloomberg now reports that Intel, Qualcomm, and Broadcom, three of the world's leading chip designers and suppliers, are cutting off their dealings with Huawei effective immediately. Nike, N-I-K-K-E-I, reports, that's how it's spelled, that German chipmaker Infineon Technologies has also suspended shipments to Huawei, as have U.S. memory chipmakers Micron Technology and Western Digital. So there's a lot of people who are joining into this ban, which on my terms is actually pretty good. They deserve it. They've had it coming for a long time, so I'm all for it. It continues to say that chip suspensions follow the earlier news of Google abruptly rescinding Huawei's Android license and halting its access to Google Play services and the Play Store, effectively dumping it out of the Android smartphone market and forcing the Chinese company to develop its own version atop the bare-bone open-source edition of Android. So basically, Google has been the one, you know, since Google bought Android, Google is the one that's supplying the Android firmware for the Huawei phones. And with this ban, they've effectively eliminated Huawei from the Android market because they, like it said here, they have to develop something on their own based on the bare bones open source edition of Android. So they have to make their own OS based on the Android bare bone edition. So that's good, because like I said, they had it coming. But with this reversal, it's a little bit confusing, you know, because not long after this is a news that came on May 19th. May 19th was on Sunday of this week, actually, and on May 21st, which was on Tuesday, yesterday, they reverted that. You know, They say Google will work with Huawei for 90 days after U.S. eases trade restrictions. That's coming from CNBC. And the key points here are the U.S. Commerce Department announced Monday that it granted a 90-day license for mobile phone companies and internet broadband providers to work with Huawei to keep existing networks online and protect users from security risk. The exemption allows Google to send software updates to Huawei phones which use its Android operating system through to August 19th. So basically, they're giving them some leeway to actually stock up. You know, and that's what they've been doing with the other chips. Because as the news article said on The Verge, they saw this coming. So this is not something new. So if they see this coming, come on. If you see this coming, then you should have prepared a little bit more for people to abruptly end everything. So you should have started doing like your own Android OS or your own version of a UI just to compensate for that, because you knew it was coming. And you've been stockpiling on chips, so why not go all out and just, you know, completely untie yourself from the need of Android and just make your own OS? I mean, it worked with Apple, didn't it? So why can't it work with Android? You know, why can't it work with them? So it worked with Apple, it worked with Android because they're both separated. But here's the thing: if you knew it was coming, stock up like you've been doing and make your own operating system, completely eliminating the need for Android or the need for the US to be involved in your phones. I mean, you've been accused of spying. That should have been your first indicator to go, okay, let's start making everything on our own, because we might lose these deals. You know, we might lose these. And yes, your phones are really good, your phones are really high tech, but guess what? They're just copies, because the same specs that were in previous Huawei phones were the exact same specs of Samsung phones or Apple phones. You know, they were pretty much the same. The only thing that changed were a few kinks here and there, but they were exactly the same. So they were almost identical. And you can't help but wonder, is that an indicator that they've been stealing our intellectual property? Probably not, but is that an indicator that they have tried to? Of course it is. Because even though Android and Apple, Samsung and Apple, which are the biggest competitors right now, even though they have good flagship phones, they're not the same. They use different architectures and they use different things on their phones. Some of them are equal, some of them they lend parts to them. I think that Samsung gave them, I think Samsung gave Apple some screens at one point, I'm not mistaken. And they can interchange parts, yes, but the architecture is not the same. But when you compare a Samsung phone to a Huawei phone, the architecture is almost identical. So it kind of raises an eyebrow, you know, because only the internal people should know about how the architecture works, you know, and how the architecture is put up. Yes, you get the specs from outside, which tells you, okay, it has this much RAM, this much processing power, this much storage, etc., etc. You know, those are the basic things, but it doesn't tell you deep into the architecture. And when you see that most phones are almost identical from Huawei to Samsung, then you start raising an eyebrow and say, okay, there's something weird here. This shouldn't happen. They shouldn't know this. How come their phones are just like mine? You know? And it poses that problem, you know? In here, in the news about the 90-day license, it says here, the U.S. Commerce said it would assess whether to extend the temporary exemption beyond 90 days. That's not good. I would honestly keep it to the 90 days and force them to actually work for their stuff. But, you know, that's just me. Late last week, the Commerce Department added Huawei and 68 other entities on an export blacklist, rendering it practically impossible for the Chinese company to purchase goods made in the U.S. So, the 68 other entities are under Huawei. That's why they got blacklisted. The companies placed on the entity list are deemed to be engaged in activities that threaten the national security or the foreign policy interests of the United States. Monday's announcement explained the latest authorization has been created as a temporary general license. It allows disclosure of security vulnerabilities and for Huawei to engage in the development of standards for future 5G networks, effectively prompting the firm to become more transparent. A spokesperson for Huawei declined to comment when contacted by CNBC. Okay, that's just them on the article. But, you know, Huawei became the second largest smartphone maker in the global market by the first quarter. And, you know, it should have given you a thought that, hey, these guys became second out of the blue. Because the first ones, I think it was Samsung was first, Apple was second. They were competing for first spot. And then I think it was LG? LG, was it? I think it was LG. I'm not sure who the third one is. But all of a sudden, Huawei became third. And then all of a sudden, Huawei became second, overtaking Apple. And I thought, okay, there's something weird going on here, because I saw that and I was like, wow, this guy came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, everything starts blowing up in their face because they've been accused of spying. There have been rumors that they have been spying on the US, or their equipments have spying capabilities. And then the news came out that ex-employees from other companies were called by Huawei to disclose secrets from the other companies, and that's when everything started to turn sour for them. So what I'm saying with this, be careful with Huawei. You know, Huawei right now is not in a good position. So my take on this, steer clear of Huawei, okay? Just leave Huawei. If you have a Huawei phone, leave. Buy yourself a new phone, buy yourself an Android, or buy yourself an iPhone, but just stay away from Huawei, all right? Because right now, they're not in a good position, and if you have a Huawei phone or planning on buying a Huawei phone, don't do it, because you'll be left behind. By August, you'll be left behind. That's just my take on it, right? And that's what the news articles actually state. So keep it to yourself. Stay away from Huawei. Just don't go anywhere near that fruit basket, all right? So that's just my take on it. And honestly, on the take of the bans, I would have been more exclusive, more strict. That's the word I was looking for. I would have been more strict with the limitations, you know. I would have gone with the ban outright. But if I had to work with them just to make sure that I could keep them, safe, quote unquote safe, I would have just given them 60 days, honestly. 60 days or less. Because 90 days, to be honest, is just too much. So 60 days or less. Let's just hope that this turns out all right and that the band keeps going, because honestly, they should not have a point in the 5G networks, because of all these scandals that have happened, all the trust has gone to the floor. So they shouldn't be allowed anywhere near that. All right? They shouldn't be allowed anywhere near that. And if anybody's listening to me, they shouldn't be allowed anywhere near that. That's my take on it, and that's my position, and I stand by it. But anyways, we'll be right back with some more here on the Cutting Edge Tech. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back with some more. And we are back here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me. So, Google, speaking of Google, they, instead of banning something, they actually created something to help the doctors. And it actually outperformed six of them. So, Google's lung cancer detection AI outperforms six human radiologists. This is coming from VentureBeat.com. And I'm surprised. Like, to be fair, I'm really, really excited for this, because that means that we can actually detect cancer more accurately, you know? Because, you know, sometimes humans make errors, humans make mistakes, and computers are programmed in a way that they are more accurate than humans in some cases. So if this goes through, we might see a really good increase in cancer detection and cancer prevention and cancer treatment, which is very good. Like, honestly, this is really good news. It goes to say, Google AI researchers working with Northwestern Medicine created an AI model capable of detecting lung cancer from screening tests better than human radiologists with an average of 8-year experience. So we're talking like we got some experience in here. They're not that big of an experience, but hey, they're pretty experienced. By the point that they reach an average of 8 years, they're pretty experienced. They've seen a lot. So they should know about this, you know? Where it continues to say, when analyzing a single CT scan, the model detected cancer 5% more often on average than a group of six human experts and was 11% more likely to reduce false positives. Humans and AI achieved similar results when radiologists were able to see prior CT scans. So it was pretty, it showed an increase of actual reading into the scans, which actually is really good. It continues to say, when it came to predicting the risk of cancer 2 years after a screening, the model was able to find cancer 9.5% more often compared to estimated radiologist performance laid out in the National Lung Screening Test Study. And this is good. This is really, really wonderful. I'm really, really excited to see where this goes, and I'm very, very pumped to see where this continues on. And who knows, maybe we can see a partnership between AI and doctors, or maybe we can put AIs to just work on the CT scans and then the doctors to, you know, describe and write down and everything. But we could see a combo in this, you know, we could see like, okay, the AI detects, the computer detects, and we write the screenings, we write everything, and we can be more accurate in our readings, you know? Because usually radiologists are more general in their readings, and they put assumptions rather than certainties, because the certainties are up to the doctors to find out. You know, for the normal doctors that see those radiologists see the radio scans after the radiologists have seen it. There we go. And this actually helps a lot more than just having a human, which can make mistakes or can confuse one thing with another, just staring at it and going, okay, well, based on my experience and based on what I've seen, this could be cancer, or this could be a nodule, a benign nodule, or a malignant tumor that's forming. You know, it could be a lot of things, and based on my experience, they should check this out. Whilst an AI can be like, okay, this looks like cancer, this should be cancer, so let's have a look at this. And then, you know, it helps with the screening of patients, you know? So I'm actually really, really excited for this. I'm very, very pumped for this. It continues to say the model will be made available through the Google Cloud Healthcare API as Google continues trials and additional tests with partner organizations. And this is a quote from a technical lead, Shravya Shetty, I think it was. Yeah, Shravya Shetty. That's, I hope I pronounced it right. This is a quote from the technical lead at Google. Let's just go with that. The AI system uses 3D volumetric deep learning to analyze the full anatomy of chest CT scans, as well as patches based on object detection techniques that identify regions with malignant lesions. That was said by the technical lead and the manager, Daniel Say, said in a blog post today, and by today they mean May 20th. May 20th was Monday. And it continues to say the model was trained using more than 42,000 chest CT screenings images taken from nearly 15,000 patients, 578 of whom developed cancer within a year, during a low-dose computed tomography LDCT study the National Institutes of Health conducted in 2002. Results were then validated with data sets from Northwestern Medicine. So they put this AI through its paces because it actually showed them a lot of images that it can gather information from and it can learn from them. So they put the AI through its paces. It's not something that they just popped in and is like, okay, we'll detect cancer. No, they went on and made the AI study and develop itself into actually predicting and actually looking at radiologies good enough in order to actually outperform humans that were already on the field for an average of 8 years, which is amazing. So good on Google for doing this. Keep on doing this. This is amazing. I just love updates in the medicine field that help with the health of patients, etc., etc. And Google has done an amazing job with this. Hopefully they can use this in conjunction with actual human radiologists to actually help with all this, you know, because cancer is not something that is not easy, you know. I personally don't have it, thank God, but I have lost people to cancer, so I know how hard it feels. I know how bad to see a person so vigorous and so lively be succumbed to cancer, yet continue to have a smile on their face while they know that they're gonna pass away. It's just, to me, it's a little bit heartbroken, but you know, I've lost people to cancer and it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. So I'm really glad that Google has actually taken this step in actually developing an AI that actually does help with the detection of cancer earlier and more accurately than human doctors. I hope they use this in conjunction, and I hope they use this, they develop this, you know, I hope they develop this and make it work for everybody, you know, and develop it for other types of cancers, and develop it for, you know, for screening and just evolving in the medical field, you know. Let's just hope that they continue on this trail. They're doing good. I can't wait to see where this goes. But anyways, we'll be right back with some more here on the Cutting Edge Tech. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back. And we are back here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me here. So, now we go on to the phone carriers. And the phone carriers have been having a lot to talk during these past few weeks. The T-Mobile and Sprint merger just recently came up again. And for those of you who don't know, T-Mobile has bought, or at least is trying to buy Sprint to, you know, to encompass more signal, according to them. They're thinking of a merger, but the FCC didn't clear them. Recently, they did clear the FCC hurdle that they had, and now it's going through the another bureau. I don't remember which bureau it was, but right now they're in the antitrust law. The dude that arranges the antitrust law right now, it's putting a hold to it until they reach some concessions. So that's a little bit of a talking point, but a talking point that was going on for the last week was that an AT&T contractor and a Verizon AT&T contractors and a Verizon employee were charged with helping a SIM swapping criminal ring. Now, this has gotten AT&T and Verizon in a very, very tight spot. According to the article, the Department of Justice accused 9 people of allegedly being part of a crime gang known as the Community that hijacked mobile phone numbers to then steal money and cryptocurrency. This is yet another criminal case brought forward against hackers to use a technique called SIM swapping to target bank accounts and primarily online cryptocurrency wallets. Among the alleged criminals were also 2 former AT&T contract employees and 2 former Verizon employees who helped the alleged criminals by providing private customer information in exchange for bribes. So, yeah, this is not good for AT&T and Apple. So, yeah, they're in a bit of a pickle right now because 2 of their former employees in AT&T, former contractors, and 1 Verizon employee, a former one, they're involved into this. And since they were former employees, they have privy to the private information from when they were working there. So it's pretty interesting to see, like, at least I know of cases where people like use the knowledge that they know about their previous employers to actually screw over a company or sell secrets, etc., etc., for profit. But this is interesting because at least up to this point, I haven't heard anyone from a telecom industry, like for phone carriers, for example, to actually do this. I knew about the SIM swapping thing. I mean, that is a thing, that is not something new. But I didn't expect this to go live, and honestly, I haven't heard that many former employees actually helping into this. I know that there is a ring, a criminal ring for that, but I didn't know that there were actual people going for that. You know, there were actual ex-employees. That's what I've been trying to say. So basically, it goes into detail as to the accounts of the people that they got. I'm not going to mention names because I'm not going to give credence to or credit to the people that actually did this. And it goes on to what they said and to what they gained from it, etc., etc. And honestly, this is something that is very, you know, like I said, this is not something new. This is something that's been going on for ages. And right now that they're getting into the cryptocurrency stealing game, that is a new method that I've heard so far right now. Sorry. That is the first time I ever heard that they did SIM swapping for cryptocurrency wallets. That's actually new. I haven't heard about that, which is very, very frightening because people that invest a lot in cryptocurrencies, myself included, I don't invest a lot, but I invest. And it's something that kind of gets you on edge, you know? It kind of makes you look both ways and makes you, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. And it's very, very, very wary from where you do, where you leave your phone. So please, people, keep your phones to yourself. Always keep them on hand. Always keep them in a secure place because this can happen to you at any moment. Like, you could literally, they work really fast. They could go like, oh, here's a phone, bam, bam, pop the chip out, put a new one, put it in. There we go. SIM swapping, you're done. Screw it, and you didn't even notice. So always keep the phones to yourself. Always keep your electronics, in general, the electronics that you have to yourself. And make sure to keep an eye on where you are, and always make sure to have your head on a swivel, because this can happen to anybody. Like I said, it could happen in an instant, because these guys are pros. These guys know what they're doing, and they're not newbies. So make sure to keep an eye on this, because this is something really, really, really important that we must address. Now, on to a more funny type of news, I would say, which is that right now, you can actually sue Apple, if you didn't know that, because the Supreme Court ruled, this is from an article in PC Mag, that it says the Supreme Court ruled that iPhone owners can sue Apple over App Store policies. So this is very interesting. The synopsis to this is, in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court sided with 4 iPhone owners who contend the company has been inflating the prices on the App Store. Current antitrust laws allow the plaintiffs to recover 3 times the amount of damages. Ooh, boy. Apple, this is not looking good for you. Oh my goodness. Are you serious, Apple? Like, you've been inflating your prices and now you got screwed over by that practice. So, better start paying up, buckos. So, for those of you who own Apple, now's the perfect chance. If you think that they've inflated the prices or that you paid more for what you should have, now's the time. Like, I don't normally do this because honestly, I'm not a big fan of Apple. They're okay phones to me, but honestly, I'm not a big fan of them. But those of you who do have iPhones and are listening to me right now, make sure to get your cases in because this could prove very useful to you. And I'm not advocating for, go sue Apple down to the ground. But if you've ever been cheated or ever been, offered more for what you, that not offered more, you've paid more for what you've been offered. That's what I meant to say. If you've been paying more for what you've been offered in the App Store and you have evidence of that, now you have the chance to actually get back at Apple and tell them, hey, you did this to me. I have evidence of this. So what are you going to do? And you can actually sue them for that, which is actually a pretty good defense tactic. Let's just hope that people don't exploit it and actually do this all the time. It continues to say the article, all App Store developers must also pay the company a 30% cut of app sales. This requirement and the lack of alternatives can force consumers to overpay for their apps, according to the iPhone owners who filed their class action lawsuit against Apple in 2011. Oh, so this case has been going on for a while. But yeah, I mean, that is true because, in order for you to have an app in the App Store, you have to pay a fee. For them to keep them on the platform, for them to actually give them maintenance, and for them to actually help you with the maintenance of the app itself, So that is something of a given. But App Store has been, a little bit thrifty with their techniques. I don't know if thrifty is the word, but I'm going to use thrifty. But they've been a little bit with their practices, and they have been charging a lot more to developers, which is kind of hurting into them. But hey, App Store makes a lot of money. If you have your app in the App Store, there's very few free applications that you can actually get there, so eventually you will get the money, because the App Store, for those of us who have the normal phone, unless they're jailbroken, that's the only place to get them. That's the only place for you to get the apps for the iPhone. There's no other place unless you jailbreak it and put, whatever it is that you put in the jailbreaks. It's been a while. Repositories, Cydia, whatever they're using right now. I think they're still using Cydia. I'm not sure. But anyways, the only place to get the apps if you have a normal iPhone is by the App Store. Apple's theory would provide a roadmap for monopolistic retailers to structure transactions with manufacturers, suppliers, so as to evade antitrust claims by consumer, Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote on the opinion. The Supreme Court's decision refrained from assessing the legal merits of the antitrust charges against Apple, but it does open the door for both consumers and app developers to sue the company over its alleged monopolistic iOS practices. Current antitrust laws allow the plaintiffs to recover 3 times the amount of damages. The Supreme Court heard the case after a lower federal court ruled that the iPhone owners were direct purchasers from Apple when buying apps from the official App Store. In response, Apple wanted the Supreme Court to dismiss the lawsuit. So far, the company hasn't commented on today's decision. So the decision was actually taken on May 13th, and it makes you wonder that the Supreme Court ruled in favor of these plaintiffs, and now it opened the door to many more lawsuits on the way. Like, I can smell it. I'm not saying that people are just gonna go running for just meager things like, oh, I paid $1 more and I don't want $3 back. Like, no. Like, that's not how it works. Like, there's gotta be a process for this to roll back, but I have a feeling people are gonna exploit it, and that's where this can go sour, That's where this can go the other way around and actually give help to Apple in order to continue to do what they're doing and whatever, because they over-exploited something that the Supreme Court ruled. But, let's see where this goes. I'm a little bit if, you know, I'm more of a, okay, let's just back away slowly and let the people that have iPhones deal with this, with Apple itself. So I'm just going to stay back, I'm going to take out my popcorn, and I'm just going to start eating the popcorn, and I'm just going to watch how this plays. That's my take on this. That's my attitude right now on this. But it's actually pretty funny because I never expected that right now iPhone users could sue the people that give them their phones. That's actually pretty funny to me. But anyways, that's all for today on the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you so much for joining me here. I know that I've been out for a while, but this longer episode should compensate for it, and I'm really glad that you guys were patient with me. And thank you so much for getting this podcast all the way to Singapore, guys. Singapore, Germany. And recently I looked up into my statistics over here, and we reached India as well. Like, guys, thank you so much. Like, for real, like, you have no idea how much I'm so grateful for this. Like, we're getting global, guys. We're getting global. Like I said in the post, we're getting global, guys. Let's make it happen, guys. Let's make it global. Thank you so much, guys. I can't thank you enough. I said thank you way too much. So, one more time, just for it. Thank you so much, guys. Like, for real. Thank you. I'm gonna end the episode before I keep showering you guys with thank yous of appreciation, because I'm so stoked for this. I'm so happy that this has gotten that much attention. Like, it's gone halfway across the world, guys. Like, who would have thought? Like, I just wanted to do this to inform you guys, give my take on stuff, keep you guys up to date, and it reached so far in such a short time. I'm so happy. Like, you guys have no idea. Thank you so much. Keep sharing it, guys. We can make this global. So keep sharing it. I'm gonna be doing my podcast next week, hopefully. If everything goes right to plan, I will continue this more frequently. I will continue this, you know, continue the way it is right now every Wednesday to keep posting videos. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. I can't even think straight. To keep posting the new podcast, the new episodes of the podcast, I'll keep you guys posted on the Facebook page. And guys, I got some news. I think I said it in the previous podcast, but if I didn't, you're going to hear it now. I'm graduating, guys. I finally made it through college. I'm done. So I should have more of a lower schedule in terms of, okay, now I don't have to study anymore. Now I can focus on work and I can focus on the podcast. So hopefully, if everything goes right to plan, I'm able to do this. So, and I really want to continue doing this, guys. It means a lot. Like, I didn't expect to get this much attention in such a short time. I didn't expect it to reach the population it has reached in such a short time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this, guys. So, as always, remember, there's a Facebook page. Go over there and put @CuttingEdgeTechPodcast. Hit the like button and stay up to date to everything that's happening with the podcast. Let's get this all over the world. Okay, I at least want to see every single place in the world in the statistics. At least, even if it just pops for like a 1% or something like that, I want to see that at least it has grabbed worldwide attention. This is fantastic, guys. It has gone to India. Like, I was surprised. I saw Singapore, I saw Germany, and I saw India when I looked at the statistics. And at first, it was just, oh, Puerto Rico, that's where I'm from, and the United States, which is basically a conglomerate of where I am, because Puerto Rico is a part of the United States, but it's not a part of the United States. It's confusing, right? The terminology is confusing, but since Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, well, I was expecting, like, okay, well, I'll get attention in Puerto Rico and the United States, and then it'll probably go worldwide in, boof, in, like, a long time. And then all of a sudden, boom, Germany. I was like, whoa, what happened here? And then all of a sudden, the next week, I think it was last week, yeah. Last week, checking the statistics, because I went to post on the on the Facebook page, and I just said, hey, let me look at the statistics of the podcast, let's see how it's going, and then boom, Singapore. I was like, okay, this is getting crazy. And then I checked today, and boom, India. What? So let's keep it going, guys. Let's keep it going. Anyways, I've rambled enough for the end. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for sharing. Let's get this worldwide, guys. Let's get this worldwide. And remember, keep it techie, my friends. I'll see you guys next Wednesday. Cutting Edge Tech is a technology news podcast focused on the latest news that occurred during the week between episodes. The opinions expressed in this podcast are strictly from the host and should not be taken as absolute facts. If you'd like to suggest a news article to be discussed in the podcast, send it to me at cutting.edgetechpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear them. Thank you, and see you in the next episode. And remember, keep it techie, my friends.